please visit the book table. We have CDs, sets of CDs, The Steps of Treatment, the first four chapters of the Science of Mind textbook, and anything there on the table to assist you in your journey. Cheers. Sit back, close your eyes, and please just join with me in this moment, in this wonderful celebration of birthing new ideas, releasing the past and old ideas, coming into the awareness of abundance and what abundance really is. So we know this morning that we are here together as one mind and one power, one presence expressing our own unique divinity. Standing here on holy ground, open, receptive, awaiting whatever needs to be heard. And let us know that we are also here to be healed. If anything needs to be healed, simply means to have the truth revealed. And once the truth is revealed, we know that that infinite power and mind of the presence of God releases us from anything that could be holding us in bondage, allows us to be set free. So we move forward in this joyous consciousness, individually as well as collectively, knowing that we are rich in spirit and rich in every way. We do give thanks for this truth. We release this, we let it be, and together we say, and so it is. So our monthly theme has been abundance, the awareness of what is already yours. And as I told you last week, this has been a real inspirational month for me because I've read many books on prosperity and abundance, and I'm using all of those great authors and what they taught in these talks this week. This morning, why expectancy produces demonstration. Demonstration is just another word for manifestation. So here's the question. The question is, do we get what we want? Or do we get what we expect to get? And the answer to that is we get what we expect to get. So if you think that you're getting what you want, then that is also because that is your expectation. But there's this interesting thing that is underlying our wants and desires is this level of expectancy. That means our trust, the trust that we have in our desire that we choose to demonstrate. It turns out that faith is actually the key that seems to turn that lock of the storehouse of spiritual energy, which causes it to take the form of what's equivalent to our faith, to our expectancy and receiving. So faith, expectancy, and receiving. We're going to look at that this morning. What is that level? I think it's time to invest in a faith-filled energy that actually attunes us with the energy that's present in this law of abundance. Would you not agree? Anybody here not want any more abundance of good in their life? Yes, everybody could take a little more abundance. How many of you last week enrolled in the Unexpected Income Program? How many of you have demonstrated since you enrolled in that program? Okay, good. So if you didn't enroll last week, I want to give you another opportunity to do that this week. It is in the middle of the lobby, and we'll direct you to it so you know exactly where it is. But there is a power in a group. When a group is all aligned, it means the power is mighty. So if we all enroll in this program, I have a very clear picture that we will all be demonstrating unexpected income. And you can read about the program so that you understand what it's about. The other thing to recognize is when we start discussing money, what appears to be happening is that the human mind or the ego mind, and I think especially if it's a church, it's like, oh, here they are after my money. They need to know a new carpet or a new air conditioner or whatever it is. But the truth is it has nothing to do with us being after your money. This is really for you to start to use this law of abundance and start to see how the law of circulation works when you begin to work it. Because that's really all money is about. Money is simply about circulating. And the more we circulate it, the more it circulates back to us. Because we know that if we just put our money under a mattress, not much is going to happen, right? It isn't going to increase. So we usually put our money in banks. We put our money in certain investments because it's being circulated, and that way you have more. So that's really what the law of circulation is about, is simply about circulating our money and at the same time we circulate our good. So it isn't all about money. It's all about attracting more good in your life. Let's talk a little bit about faith, because faith seems to be this sort of invisible, what we call substance, and it's really the key to demonstration or the key to manifestation. All things are brought into creation through our faith. Now, the story goes that God imaged man and the universe, and then through faith brought all things into being. But the truth is, that's what you also do. You also do exactly the same thing. You all have faith in many, many things. The question is, how do we put it to work in our lives? And what do you put your faith in? So we put our faith in usually the things that we can't see. For instance, if you have an idea to build a house, you don't have the house yet. You just have an idea. But in that idea comes all kinds of plans and all kinds of ideas that you have. How many bedrooms you want, what kind of a living room you want, how you want everything situated, how many bathrooms you want, things like that. So we have faith that out of that idea, this house will come into fruition, correct? You could take any idea. Your thought and your idea in the invisible side of life then comes into fruition, because no thought goes unheard. No thought goes unheard. It then becomes substantial, or it becomes real, because of your faith. And of course, faith without works is dead. So we're not just talking about a nonchalant, lay back kind of, yeah, I've got some faith. We're talking about a living faith, a faith that has works. The office of faith is to take abstract ideas and give them definite form in substance, just like I was talking about the house. So we make things real in our consciousness when we add the power of faith to it. Now, to that power of faith, sometimes we might want to take it into meditation as well. We might want to take it into prayer or spiritual mind treatment, affirmative prayer as we call it. So divine faith, as per Dr. Ernest Holmes, who created and founded this teaching, he says that faith is a mental attitude which is so convinced of its own idea, which so completely accepts it, that any contradiction is unthinkable and impossible. So that's the kind of faith I'm talking about today. Now, let's talk about what happens when you have a doubt. How many of you had a doubt last couple of days? A couple of doubts? Okay. You're never going to have another doubt when I tell you what doubt does. Because doubt actually retards demonstration. Your doubts retard the very thing that you're working on to demonstrate or to manifest. Expectancy is what produces your demonstration. So if I live in the expectancy of whatever my desire is, and I expect that that desire will come to me, then I am actually speeding the production of it. But what happens sometimes when we get a desire? We get a desire, and then all the reasons why maybe that desire can't come into fruition sometimes begin to pop up, right? Again, we don't get what we want. We get exactly what we expect or what we really have faith in. So we want to up the level of expectancy. Now, we're not taught to do this. We're not taught to run around just expecting the best all the time. Just expect that everything you desire will come your way. We're not really raised that way or conditioned that way, are we? We're conditioned that there's a little bit of lack when it comes to good, right? There's not all that much money. There's not all that much good. You want to be really, really careful. We want to be very stingy. The universe is going to be very stingy with how it hands out its good to you. So what happens is then we take that and we make that into a belief. And we decide that the conditioning that conditioned us, that there's not enough good, or that you're taking somebody else's good away, we then make that into a belief. And because it's done unto us as we believe, pretty soon we look around and we say, oh, there's not very much good. Or, you know, I'm looking at my checkbook, it's kind of lean. So did they stop printing money? Is there a lack? What happened? If we believe that long enough, and it becomes a pattern in our subconscious mind, then that's what we start to attract and that's what we start to experience. The alternative is that what we're going to do is we're going to surrender. We surrender the human ego, small mind, to spirit. And then we give ourselves over to this divine spirit, this higher power and presence or mind. And then faith begins to go to work, even when we don't know exactly why we did whatever it was that we did. Charles Fillmore calls it a living faith. And he explains that when you get a strong perception, or sometimes we could call it an intuitive hit, that deeper mind tells you it's true. It says it's right, it's good. Go ahead, act on this, and your demonstration will happen. And we've all had those feelings where I just know in my gut this is the right thing to do, and we follow that, and we go ahead and do it. Or sometimes I know in my gut, and we don't follow that, right? We follow something else. And then sometimes in retrospect, we look back and say, ooh, I wish I would have followed my gut. Has that happened to any of you? Yeah. Sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing, but that's not the point. The point is that we need to start paying attention to those intuitive hits or that deeper mind. The other good news is that it's not God's will for us to sometimes have good times, for us to sometimes have hard times, or for us to have feast and then famine. That is not God's will. Now, we're considering God, using that word God, as a principle, not God as a man who arbitrarily gives or withholds. So we're looking at God as a principle. It doesn't mean that you can't believe in a God within you that exists, or whatever your belief in God is. It's just we want to be careful that it isn't something outside of ourselves, some deity that we've decided to worship out here. So what we're really doing is we're bringing it within. Because where is your spirit? It's inside. Your spirit is inside of you. Your spirit is yours, and it's uniquely yours. And nobody has a spirit like you do. We want to be sure that we remember that it is this God principle that resides within each one of us. Now, it's that principle's nature to give, just like it is nature's nature to give. It's always giving. Something is always growing. Lack, or sometimes we call it hard times, or famines, have really no place in the mind of God. And something I've discovered is that God likes to play big and God likes to play good. God does not like to play small or nasty. God plays big and good, not small and nasty. If you have smallness in there or you have limitation in there, you want to look and see where that idea has been birthed. Because if it's about God, it's about the infinite, it's about that which created everything, all it wants is for goodness. Okay, so what happens when I want something and I don't get it? And I think that God is punishing me or God is not letting me have it for some reason. But it, you see, it doesn't have anything to do with God not letting you have it. It has to do with you not letting you have it. You know, when Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes, the more we look into that story, the more we see it really wasn't such a great miracle after all. It was just something that we all have within us, an ability that he was able to awaken, ability that we all have within us so that we can learn to develop and use that the same way that Jesus did. You see, Jesus knew that his words had spirit and life, and that's what he announced. And what he was attempting to teach other people was that their words had power, that their words were the living spirit, and that what they spoke would become an experience or a reality. So your words have power, and you must learn to speak them with power and authority, and be sure that the words you speak are really what you want to see experiencing in your life. So if we're speaking about something that we don't choose to experience in our life, then we want to be very clear about speaking that and somehow find a way in which to communicate where we're not talking or bringing things into fruition that we actually are not willing to have as a reality in our life. Your word is charged with a spiritual life force, and if you keep remembering that, then you'll understand when you speak that it is going into something. And the more feeling that we have behind the word we speak, the more it is potent, and the more for sure it's going to come into manifestation. Let's use the way we talk about substance. So if we're to talk about substance in a negative way, then what will happen is that your finances will begin to decrease. But if you begin to talk about it in an appreciative way, you will begin to be prospered. If we keep saying, there isn't enough, there isn't enough, or I'm lacking, or there's a shortage, we're creating that as a law. And then that becomes the law of our life. The other thing is that you can't fool the law. We can't pretend like we have enough, act as if there is enough, and be irresponsible. But we're not suggesting you be irresponsible. The suggestion is to expand your consciousness so that one of the things that you can get out of the way in life fast and early is any issue about money. Because this seems to be the number one concern in most people's lives. Maybe it's because we all need it, and maybe it's because we all use it, and maybe it's because it's our means of trading things. We're not trading a sack of potatoes for some wheat. We actually have to pay for it. It's something that we're all going to need. We're all going to need it forever. And most likely, I'm not sure of this, but most likely in my experience of being on the planet for several decades now, that the price of things seem to be increasing. Yes? If the price of things increase, it's only reasonable that our consciousness must increase also, because it must meet the demand. So it's not that just the prices are going to be higher. Your wealth will also increase in order to meet that demand. How many of you remember when gasoline was much, much cheaper than it is right now? I mean, much cheaper. How many of you are still using it? Just a few of you. Some of you stopped because it got too high. Yes, are you still all using gasoline? Seriously? And it did increase in price, right? Was there anything that you could do about it? Even though you were upset, disturbed, angry, they didn't listen to you, right? You still drive a car, and somehow you can still fill that tank, right? So isn't it interesting that somehow this law of cause and effect absolutely knows, and it is here to take care of us, and that's what we have to understand. We have to understand that the universe is for us and with us, not against us. Now, Be aware of the imaginary things that you conjure up that can seem real. How many of you have ever used your imagination in a negative way? And how many of you have actually had that come into fruition in a negative way? So your imagination is very powerful, is it not? Yes? Okay. Let me tell you about one of the biggest misuses of imagination. You ready? I want you to be sure to write this down so that throughout the week, you don't forget. Okay? Worry is a misuse of your imagination. Did everybody hear me? W-O-R-R-Y, worry is a misuse of the imagination. How many of you are willing to give it up? Not the imagination, but worry. Yes? Is anybody still want to hang on to a little bit of it? Comfortable, friendly, been around for a while? Yeah. Well, you know what? Just for the heck of it, let go of it and just see what happens. And every time you start to worry, reverse it and start imagining something that you actually can allow yourself to expect. Fair? And you'll start to see the power you have in your word. Instead of worrying, how about having faith? Couldn't hurt, right? So if something comes up to worry about, you could reverse that. Oh, I'm so worried about this. But you could say, you know what? I've decided instead of worrying about this, I'm going to have faith that whatever this is completely solved. And it's perfect. And then you could release it, let it go, and move on with the business of living, rather than stay stuck in worrying. Misuse of the imagination. Whatever you create in mind with your imagination, and then add the power of faith to it, will manifest, good or bad. If you imagine it enough, if you think about it enough, it will manifest at some level. Now, if your faith is in outer things, what happens then is you're actually building shadows, I'm going to say, without any kind of substance. There's nothing to substantiate it. The forms will always pass away, and they will leave you nothing. So we're not talking about form. We're not talking about boats and planes and houses and having faith in people. How many of you have ever had faith in a person and been extremely disappointed? Two of you. I wonder why. See, what happens when you begin to personalize faith outside of yourself? What it does automatically is it makes that expectation muscle go really high. That expectation is that that individual, whatever you've assigned to it, is supposed to fulfill that. When that doesn't happen, you're really disappointed. Don't you hate to be disappointed? The worst, right? Why is disappointment so hard on us? Let's look at it. First of all, we already talked about the level of expectancy, the level of faith for the things that we desire. When we put faith in something outside of ourselves, I mean, and personalize it or individualize it, we get a huge expectation. And the expectation goes very, very high. But the inward faith, not so much, because we've invested all the faith outside of us. But the expectation is still there. So the expectation builds and builds and builds, but we have nothing to substantiate it because we put the faith into people, places, or things outside of ourselves. It does not mean that you should not have faith and trust in people. It does not mean that you shouldn't have faith and trust in the process of life and in all people and in all humanity. But that's not individualizing it. So you want to be very cautious when you put faith into man whose breath is in his nostrils, because we're human, right? And what happens? Human beings make mistakes, right? Sometimes we miss the mark, right? Sometimes we even give our word with all good intention. And then sometimes we have to break it, right? Not meaning to, not because we're mean-spirited, not because we're out to get people. It's just some of those things that happen in life. But when we do something like that, we can certainly clean it up, right? We can certainly acknowledge the fact that I'm sorry I didn't keep my word. And then we move forward and then we do better next time. So we want to be very careful that the expectation that we have is, and I don't want to say realistic, because then you'll have this expectancy of a great good coming to your life and somebody will say to you, well, you should be realistic. Well, I say, don't be so realistic. You have to live in the expectancy, in a general expectancy, that good is all around you and will be coming to you all the time. If you have an expectancy that you personalize or individualize it, and you'll be able to tell if it has an inkling of attachment to it, it probably won't work. If we have a detached, it's like I have an expectancy that I'm taking a test and that I'm going to pass the test. That's the expectancy that I have. It's not like I have an expectancy and then if I don't, I threaten myself. You hear what I'm saying? I have a general expectancy that everything in life is good and everything that I attract is good. Good people, good opportunities, possibilities, and wonderful situations. If something comes my way that doesn't look that way, then I have to look and say, I wonder what my expectancy was. Did I have 100% expectancy with faith that it would be all good, or did I have a little bit of doubt or worry? The little bit of doubt or worry seeped in, and therefore I got this, but I didn't get that. That's how we learn to work with these laws. We look and see what didn't completely work. But many times, you'll be thinking that you're wanting one thing, and you get something else, and it was even better. So we want to be sure that we remain flexible, not too judgmental, and not too attached. And that's why I say we have to be careful about personalizing and individualizing. We have to get much more to the wholeness of life. We want everybody to be successful. You have to want the same success for other people that you want for yourself. This isn't a competitive world. This is a creative world. If you live in a competitive world, then you live in lack and limitation because you're always competing with something or someone. You have to remember that you're always the best in your world because you're all that's in your world. So I am the best in my world, and you are the best in your world. Are there other people who do what you do and maybe do it as well, greater or better? Yes, but who cares? Because if your focus is there, then you're giving that your energy. You want to be sure your energy is given to your idea, your plan, your vision, your dream, not somebody else's. It doesn't mean that we don't support one another, but not in a competitive way, in an inclusive way. So faith in outer things, is that clear? We want to say that we have faith in the substance of God working in and through us in order to increase and bring abundance into our world. So what we have faith in is this principle, this power that's working in and through us, and due to that, we are attracting and bringing into our lives greater substance, greater abundance of all things that are good. When the faith muscle gets strong, it's because you have faith in the invisible. Faith is something you develop, something you bring. It isn't like, well, I'll look and see if I have it first, and then I'll have some faith. You have to have faith first. Faith first. Faith first in your idea, and then you see it. Faith and belief, acceptance and trust. First, I have to believe it, right? If I'm saying this is my desire, I have to be able to believe that my desire is possible. I may not know how it's possible. I may not know how it's going to come into fruition, but I have to have the believability that it will. Then God finds its expression through you and through me. Certain ideas go into your mind, certain ideas go into my mind, certain ideas go into other people's minds. But certainly each idea is catered perfectly for that individual, correct? We could use some examples, but you probably already understand that. You don't have to worry about the universe or the infinite not knowing exactly who you are and what you desire. People oftentimes say, well, I better tell the universe what it is I want. I don't want to get the wrong thing. Well, I always say to people, if what you do in life is you're a hairdresser, then most likely you won't get an opportunity to be an astronaut. It probably just won't happen because you won't attract that. We have a consciousness, and awareness builds our consciousness. The more we're conscious of something, the more we're doing something, the more we attract that energy. Haven't you noticed that? That people come to you to ask you about your craft and your work. What you do. They don't come to you for necessarily other things because you've created a mental equivalent, you've created an energy, and you've created that this is what you do. So you have that kind of an energy. The mind of man is built on truth. The clearer your understanding of truth is, the more substantial your mind becomes. What do we mean by truth? Well, truth. Truth is just what is. It's not arguable. It's just what is. The more we begin to understand the truth, it isn't like, well, that's my truth. I always find that interesting. It's like, oh, really? That's your truth? You see, the truth is the truth. Water's wet, rocks are hard. That's the truth. Oh, you don't believe me? Well, come here. Who doesn't believe that water's wet? Come on, stand right here. You hear what I'm saying? We don't have to go through this. So who doesn't believe that a rock is hard? So there are certain truths. Now, if you bring that rock or water into your life and you decide that it doesn't work for water to be wet and rocks to be hard in your particular experience because of something that just happened, like you threw a rock through your neighbor's window, you suddenly want to say, now rocks are not hard. This is how we use the law. We either use it ignorantly or we use it intelligently. So if you took a rock and you threw it through a window, would that be an intelligent way of using the law or an ignorant way? Just take a wild guess. Would be an ignorant way. As much as you could justify it and rationalize it, you know, it slipped out of my pocket, I don't know, gravity just made it fly there, I don't even remember having it in my hand, I don't know how it left my hand. I mean, we can think of all kinds of reasons and excuses, and this is what we do all the time when we're just dealing with a law that just isn't, it's just the truth. It's how we use it. So the law of electricity is great. Until you decide to use it in an ignorant way. So if you decide to put a hairpin in a plug, you're going to have a different experience than if you just turn the light switch on, yes? It's like, whoops, that's not the way to use electricity, I guess. We learn about things like this by making, unfortunately, mistakes. By using the law in ignorant ways, we learn how the law works, just like we do with people. We learn that if we have negativity and we're putting out negativity, we'll start to see that that's what's coming back. That's how we learn. Oops, that just didn't work. See, the law of attraction is always working. You're always attracting something. You're never attracting nothing. You're always attracting or repelling. your mind never has no thought. Have you noticed? You couldn't possibly sit there and say, I'm just having no thoughts. It just doesn't happen. Your mind is busy all the time. Thinking, 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 chattering, 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 chattering. Yes? You have the same mind as I do. It chatters all the time. Carries on, has thoughts all the time, right? That's always either attracting or repelling something. And that's why we want to look and say, no thought goes unheard and thought knows no distance. What is it I'm thinking in the time of day where I think I'm just sort of thinking thoughtless thoughts? You're not. It all has an energy. So we want to start looking at that and what it is we're thinking. Now, the more you know about God, this is just the truth, the more successful you will be in handling your affairs in life. The healthier you will be, the happier you will be, the more beautiful and better in every way you will be. Whatever your word for that power that's greater than you are, that is inside of you, when you connect with that power, you will see that everything in life gets better. Now, I'm not here to try to save people, because look what they did to the last one. That isn't the point. The point isn't to be saved. You don't need saving. You've already been saved. You just need to recognize through some form of self-discovery who you really are and the magnificence of that being that you are. That you are not just some human flesh and bones. That you are a unique and individualized expression of divinity and as a divine being. When you connect with that and recognize that, everything changes. Because somehow you up your expectancy when you start to realize who you really are. The younger in life you can realize that, the easier life is. So the law that I'm talking about all the time is the law of cause and effect. And it is a very impersonal law. There's nothing by luck and there's nothing by chance. We've been given free will, or we could call it dominion or choice. We choose. However, we must also follow the rules of action or the rules of the law. The major rule is that God is good. And all of God's creations are good. Yes, that means you. That means even your enemies, even those people that you're having issues with, those people are also good. Once you start to understand that there's goodness everywhere, and that sometimes there's just a choice of a different behavior or how to express that goodness, it makes life simpler. If you get it firmly fixed in your mind, you will begin to demonstrate more good, and nothing but good will or can come into your world. It's the belief in something else that causes something else to happen. What does this have to do with abundance? Well, it has everything to do with abundance, because what we do is we have thoughts and ideas about things, and we, as we begin to bring negativity to them, we're actually decreasing them. So many times the very thing that we say we want, we are decreasing in value by the way we're speaking, and we actually cause something we don't want. The things that we want to magnify and show appreciation and gratitude toward, many times we do the opposite there as well. So you want to be sure that you're in alignment with what your desire really is, and that you back it up with your thought, with your word, with your feeling, and also with your action. Is that clear? Thought, word, feeling, and action. First thought, which you can always change. Feeling, not so much. But you can back into it by changing your thought. And then the way in which we act or behave must be in alignment with that. What would happen if you believe in evil? If you believed in evil, what do you think you would demonstrate in your life? Evil. If you have a belief in evil, then what you will demonstrate is evil in your life, because that is your belief, and your belief will win. The thought of evil has absolutely no power unless you choose to give it power. And many people choose to give it power by the assessment of another person's behavior. Oh, that's evil. Why is that any of your business, and why does it matter? So those are the things we want to start looking at, these thoughts that we decide to speak into expression. Does it really matter that you should assess that? I mean, unless you are doing some sort of teaching or coaching, and then you have a different responsibility. But you want to be careful about how you name things, because what you name, you claim. Here's a great affirmation that you could say, and I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me. I am a child of the absolute good.
I am a child of the absolute
good. God is good.
God is good.
And I am good.
And I am good.
Everything that comes into my life is good.
I have only the good now.
Thinking good thoughts becomes a habit. No. I like that, though. Thank you. Thinking good thoughts just becomes a habit. If you have a habit of thinking negative thoughts, you want to shift it, and you want to start thinking good thoughts. Now, back to abundance, because I don't think anybody enjoys poverty. I don't think anybody enjoys poverty, and you certainly weren't meant to be poor. Be sure and overcome any belief that you have about that. A belief that you have about it for yourself, or a belief that you have about it for another person. Do you really think that your belief in poverty, lack, and limitation is making the world a better place? Answer fast. You know that it is not, correct? So all of this positive thinking and affirmative and constructive way of living isn't because it's for selfish reasons, because I should just have abundance. This is for the world. This is so everything is abundant, so everybody has an understanding that there should not be poverty or lack or limitation. Nobody should be going without anything. There is plenty, plenty, plenty of everything in the world. It's a very difficult situation to bring an understanding to choice. I know it. It's very difficult to understand that at some level, there is a choice, and some people choose another way. But everything can change. Everything can change. Every choice you've made could change. You could make a new choice. So remember that you have absolute dominion over your life, and you certainly have choice. Practice by filling your mind with thoughts of richness, thoughts of plenty, so that abundance is actually realized in your life. And it doesn't have anything to do with how much money. It's a sense that everything is possible, that every opportunity, that every idea is right there and available to you, that there's no lacking of anything. And then be sure that when you begin to practice prosperity, because practice is what gets us secure in prosperity, be sure that you handle that with integrity and with generosity. Is that clear? We handle this abundance and this prosperity that comes into our lives with a sense of integrity and also a sense of generosity. This isn't about hoarding or keeping everything to yourself, and this isn't about doing sly and sneaky things. This is about having integrity and using generosity. If there is a break in your momentum of prosperity, that has happened to many people, and you say to yourself, oh, doesn't look like I have enough to pay the bills, be sure that you reverse that kind of thinking very, very quickly. so that you can say to yourself, you know what, I'm just not going to be led astray by this time. These old ideas are error ideas. I'm not applying them anymore. They have no power. They're nothing in my life. And I'm sticking to this proposition that God is love and God is the substance of my supply. Statements like that. So you begin to reverse that chatter. When you retire at night, let your last thought be about abundance and the spiritual substance that there is everywhere. It will begin to sink into your subconscious mind and then work whether you're awake or you're asleep. Now, God is not going to be going to the grocery store and bringing food to our tables. But as you continue to think about God, as you continue to think about that higher power within you as your real supply, and you begin to mold it into your subconscious, ideas will come that will connect you with visible manifestation. It will attract opportunities. I got calls this week about people who demonstrated from the unexpected income, just filling it out, just putting their name on it, just reading it every day and putting it in a basket, knowing that the practitioners are all treating for your unexpected income. I had calls from people who are out of state who decided to enroll online in the program, who had amazing things happen, opportunities, films that weren't supposed to be made or they didn't have enough money for, they suddenly got money. You see, it's done unto each of us as we believe. And if we begin to believe it, then we will for sure begin to see it and have it manifest in our lives. So again, this isn't about selfish reasons. This is about for the good of everybody. Remember that when you're thinking and when you're talking, that you do it from a stand of prosperity, of all possibilities, questioning and doubtful. And if you do find yourself becoming doubtful or worrying or questioning, that's when you want to take a very strong stand. You want to give thanks for plenty in everything in your life. And for certain, the good that is fulfilled in that spirit of who you are and in your mind, and then, of course, in the manifestation of what happens as a result of thinking into that mind. So the final word this morning is going to be from all of you. So are you ready? Sit back, close your eyes, please. And I want you just to repeat after me. I am grateful for God's abundance.
I am grateful for God's abundance.
It is always flowing to me and enriching my life. I am sustained by God's ever-increasing abundance and prosperity.
I am sustained by God's ever-increasing abundance and prosperity.
In every good and right way.
In every good and right way.
I accept and expect a continuous flow of supply in my life. With plenty to share and plenty to spare.
With plenty to share and plenty to spare.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Woo! Okay, good job. Very good job. You all look richer. Right? Inside and outside. Oh boy, sit back. Oh, take a couple of big deep breaths. Happy Mother's Day. Happy every day. And let's know that this happiness this morning, we share with everyone. That we open our minds and our hearts to bless all people and all faiths. That we extend our hand in friendship, our heart in love to all people with deeper compassion and understanding, knowing that right where we stand, God is, and that we allow this power within us to guide us, to direct us, to make the crooked places straight, to let God be God in our lives, to step aside and to perceive things as all good, all perfect, recognizing there's more good than there is the opposition, that we straighten out our thoughts and our feelings, our actions, so that we see that which is affirmative and positive, and that we live constructive lives, knowing that we're supported and empowered by one another. We see the spirit of love and the spirit of grace wherever we go. For as the rain cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so it is.